All right. Well, we've been going through a sermon series called, it's not changing on the screen here. Let me see if I can. Oh, it's because we need to switch the screen back. Oh, it is working. I'm sorry. That screen is not working. AV, can you guys help me change the screen in the back? We've been going through a sermon series called Changes in a Community. And we've been talking about how there will be changes in a Christian's life. And actually, those changes are good changes because the Lord continues to work in our lives to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you should expect change in your life. At the same time, what we know is that there are things that won't change. The things that won't change are God himself and God's word. These things won't change. But everything else in this world will change. Even our church, the community, will change. There are communities out there that can change. The world situation, all that's going on because of disasters and the economic struggles that exist in this world, the world will change. And not only that, today's topic is about how world powers will change. World powers will change. And so as we think about this idea, we're going to look at Acts chapter 12. Verses 20 to 24. And so why don't we turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 12, verses 20 to 24. If you have one of these blue Bibles from the outside, we're looking at page 921. Page 921. Acts chapter 12, verses 20 to 24. All right, so this is the reading of God's word. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain. They asked for peace, because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied. Amen. Do you like to discuss politics? Some people answered out loud. Some people, some of us here, couldn't care less about politics. Others of us are really passionate, even become angry about politics. Some of you guys are chuckling because you know that's you. Or maybe you know someone that's like that. You know, this picture is a picture from Taiwan from about 5 years ago. And this is reported by the BBC. It says, Taiwan's brawling in parliament is a political way of life. Politics can be something that people are really, really passionate about. And actually, no matter what your view is in terms of politics, and we have people of all political black backgrounds here, and some of you guys don't know what is going on in Taiwan, and that's okay. Some of you guys are very clear about what's going on in your own home countries, which is great too. But I do believe that what's important is that as a Christian, we should be aware of what's going on in this world. We should be aware of what's going on with politics. We should be aware of what's going on with the world powers that exist in this world today. Because it's possible that whatever decisions that they make, whatever decisions countries make, it may affect the church in some kind of way. It will affect the church. It may result in persecution in some countries. Sometimes it may bring about a time of peace where the gospel can continue to spread, where the churches can grow deeper in God's word. Maybe it'll allow people to travel more, even Christians, to be able to appreciate God's creation all the more. Just as these governments make decisions, as world leaders make decisions, it will affect the church in some kind of way. And even though in Taiwan here we may not experience the difficulties of really harsh persecution, or perhaps we may not experience something like a corrupt government, although some of you guys may have other thoughts about that here. The fact is that these governments may affect our lives, and as Christians, we need to be ready to face whatever situation that we are in. As Christians, no matter what's going on in this world, we need to be ready to face whatever is happening in this world. The main idea for today is kings will rise and fall, but trust in the Lord through it all. Okay? Kings will rise and kings will fall. Trust in the Lord through it all. And those are our three main points that we're going to be going through today. Our first main point will be about how kings will rise. Our next point will be about how kings will fall. And the last point will be about trusting in the Lord. So let's talk about that first idea. Kings will rise. In our passage today, it brings up a king named Herod. At the very beginning of the chapter, if you guys have your Bibles open, then you guys can also see this verse, and also you could kind of glance through the context of what's been going on in chapter 12. Well, it says in verse 1, it says that about that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who believed, who belonged to the church. Now, Herod, as soon as we look at our verse today and this verse, we see that Herod was a violent man. When kings rise up, when rulers rise up, we don't know what kind of ruler this person is going to be. I remember about just a number of years ago when I was living in China. That's when Xi Jinping, President Xi, came into power. And at that time, we were discussing with different church leaders and different people that we knew, and they were talking about how we really don't know what's going to happen with China when Xi comes into power. It could go really, really good, or it could go really, really bad for the church. And that was the topic of discussion at that time. Well, some of you guys may know what the final result is today. Well, and it's still going. We see that the church is becoming more and more persecuted as each year goes on. Well, what about Herod? Herod was a king who rose to power. His full title is King Herod Agrippa the First. And he lived around the time of 10 BC all the way to AD 44. This is a family tree of King Herod Agrippa the First, and you see his name on the middle section right there. His grandfather, Herod the Great, was the one that persecuted the land by killing all the 2-year-old and under children, and this was the king that wanted to kill Jesus when Jesus was young. Herod Agrippa the Second, on the bottom here, is the one that was part of Paul's trial. If you look at later parts of Acts, you'll see that Paul was under trial and he was going to be on his way going to Rome. And Herod Agrippa the Second was a part of that, listening in on what Paul had to say. And so this family tree, this family of the Herods, the Herodians, was an important family for that period of time. They were a religious family. They knew about the Jewish religion. But at the same time, they were people that really played politics well. And so they were very good in their relationship with the Roman Empire. And so what they did a lot, especially Herod Agrippa the First, was that he would persecute the minority groups and he would favor the majority groups as much as possible. And he did it in a way so that minority groups, even the Christians, were persecuted. Well, as we think about and continue to think about Herod, we know that Herod was a violent, angry person. If you look at the chapter 12 and you kind of glance through it, you see that Herod Agrippa the First, he captures James, one of the first apostles of Jesus, one of the first disciples of Jesus, and then James is executed. Peter is also captured, and Peter was held in prison during the time of the unleavened bread. And you could see the verses here where it says, I just underlined unleavened bread. This is from our same chapter. And then Herod's idea was that we want to keep him in prison until after the Passover, where all these people are gathered there in Jerusalem. We want to have him held until after Passover, and then we'll take care of him after that. And I don't know if you guys know this about the Bible, but then one of the ways to read the Bible is that as you get more and more familiar with the Bible, as you read the Bible more and more, certain words that you read will bring things to mind. And this is a good practice to have, because as you practice this more and more, what you'll find is that a lot of the things that are talked about, even in the Old Testament, it actually helps us to see how Jesus is such an important figure all throughout Scripture. Okay, Jesus does come only from like 2,000 years ago, and yes, there's a long history before Jesus, but there's a lot of little hints here and there where it points us to Jesus Christ. And so, for example, when we think about kings, the idea of kings, you know, and we're talking about how there's this King Herod, then we think about how Jesus is the king, and we can make a comparison there. Another thing is that when we see this word Passover, I'm just giving these small examples, okay? When we see this word Passover, what may come to mind is like how the Israelites, they came out of Egypt and how God rescued them from that time. But also what may come to mind is that Jesus Christ was captured on the night of the Passover, and then the next day he was crucified. And so it's interesting how Peter is captured and he was being held until Passover time was supposed to pass, and he was going to maybe be killed after Passover. But we know that Jesus was killed, whereas Jesus was killed, Peter was let go, and this miracle happens where we see that Peter is let go and he's able to escape. What ends up happening is that Peter does escape, and Herod, he wants to find Peter, and he's not able to find Peter because Peter escapes, and then he just gets so upset and he goes to an area called Caesarea Maritima. And I kind of have it on the map here. So there's Sidon and Tyre that are mentioned in today's passage. And Caesarea is right there. And Jerusalem's down there. So Herod goes to Caesarea and he wants to rest there a little bit. And as he's there, he's nearby the area, Sidon and Tyre. And in today's passage, it says, now Herod was angry. Okay, so he's in Caesarea. And then he hears this news about Tyre and Sidon, and he's angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord. That means they just came together, and having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, so one of Herod's assistants, they asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. Herod was an angry guy. He was a violent person. He was probably trying to control these people. And one thing to note is that Tyre and Sidon is not a part of his jurisdiction. He did not rule over that area. He was the king over the Judean area, and the people of Tyre and Sidon, they belonged to another area that was the Syrian area, all under Roman Empire control. But the Roman Empire gave these different, they had these different regions, and they had different rulers over these regions. King Herod wasn't the king over those areas, but as it says in the passage, the country depended on the king's country for food. And so King Herod, he probably had this desire for control and thinking that, oh, I have this kind of influence over even this region. And so if I can have some type of control over these people, then I'll be great. I'll be that much greater. And we get a clue of this even in our later part of our passage today. And so think about it. This king, King Herod, he wanted to use his power in an evil way. He wanted to do it for his own purposes, for his selfish reasons. And he was willing to punish people if they weren't going to do things according to what he wanted. And so he became angry with them, probably because they weren't giving him what he wanted. Now, later on, we see in the passage that, or even here, we see how they're trying to do this political game. They're trying to gain Herod's favor, and they use Blastus. They say, come on, talk to the king for us. Talk to the king, because this is the only way that we're going to be able to get some food. By the way, last week we talked about how there was a famine that was predicted, right? There was a famine that was predicted, and the time that this was happening was during the time that the famine was going on. And so the people were already struggling with the food shortage. And in this particular area, they were dependent on this, on King Herod's land for food. And so it just means that much more. They needed food for their own people. Well, as people come into power, it's really interesting. Some of you guys here may come into positions of power in the future. Some of you here may already be in positions of power. And whenever you come into a position of power, it's either an opportunity or it becomes a temptation. An opportunity to do good, a temptation to do evil for your own purposes. Kings will rise, and it may become an opportunity for them, or it may become a temptation. For King Herod, what we find is that he used it for his own purposes. Now, as we think about that, not only will kings rise, but kings will also fall. See, the thing is that as we think about how there are these rulers that come into power, and perhaps even today we could think about rulers in this world that have come into power, and they have used that power for their own purposes. And people are suffering and struggling because there are corrupt governments around the world. There are these selfish rulers. There are these people that are power hungry. And they're doing these things for their own benefit. And they don't really think about what the rest of the country is going through. Or perhaps they think they're helping the country, but man, they have all the wrong ideas. And they're leading the country in the wrong kind of way. Some of you guys have all kinds of things that you could say, that you could share with other people in this room about what's going on in your own country. And a lot of times we become passionate and become angry about what's going on in the world today because we think that, man, things can be better in this world. If only the world powers, if only the world leaders can change and do things in a different kind of way. As Christians, yes, we can become angry about some of these things. But the thing that should be filling our hearts, that we need to be reminded of over and over again, is that God, our God, is the one that's in control of what's going on in this world. Kings will rise and kings will fall according to God's will. And so it says in Job chapter 12, verse 23, it says, he makes nations great, and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and leads them away. You see, our God is a God that's in control. God is the one that will make kingdoms rise, and God is the one that will make kingdoms fall. And so no matter what political viewpoint you come from, you don't have to hold on to some political party so tightly and be so proud of such a group, because whether or not they're in power, we know that God is able to bring them into power and at the same time bring them out of power. That group or that person is not going to be the savior of the world. It's not going to be the savior of your country. But God could use that person or that group for his purposes, for good, and to make things clear for people in this world that there is a God that exists. It may sometimes result in evil, and God can use that as well to show that he is God that's in control. As we look at our passage today, we see an example of how God has brought this king into power, but also how he brought about his fall. On a particular day that Herod was ruling, on an appointed day, and it says the word appointed to make it clear that God is the one that's in control. It's not just some random day. There was a day that God acted. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a God and not of a man." You see, at this time, we see Herod, he comes and he delivers a speech, and we don't know what's going on in the people's mind. I'm guessing when they're saying the voice of a God and not of a man, probably they're hungry and they want food, and so they're going to do whatever they can to make this king happy. Maybe. And so they're shouting this out, the voice of a God and not of a man. And what comes into view, what's really important, is how does Herod receive that? What is going on in Herod's mind? Well, this is what the passage tells us. It says, immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. Because Herod did not give glory to God, God sentenced him to death. And it brings up worms, okay? And whenever we see this, we have this picture maybe, or at least I do. I don't know if you guys do or not, but at least I do. I have this picture that he's up there, and he gives this oration, and everybody's shouting, the voice of a God and not of a man. And then all of a sudden, God strikes him, and then all these worms are in him, and then, oh, he dies, and then these worms come popping out, and they eat him all up, and then there's no body left over, and just his robe. Okay, that's how my movie mind goes to. Okay, but a lot of times what the Bible does is that it summarizes what happened. Okay, there is a famous Jewish non-Christian historian by the name of Josephus that talks about what actually happened during that time. Okay, he first talks about how Agrippa was dressed in these beautiful clothing, and how it seemed like, wow, he was just really majestic. But then later on, the commentary that I read explains a little bit about what happened to King Herod, and then it describes what Josephus said about what happened to King Herod. So let me read this for us. This is a sculpture of King Herod Agrippa I. His picture was found on a coin, and what scientists and archaeologists did was that they took the picture from the coin and they made a 3D image of him. And this is the sculpture that we have today. All right. So this is what Josephus says. He says, clad in a garment woven completely of silver so that its texture was indeed wondrous, he entered the theater at daybreak. There the silver, illumined by the touch of the first rays of the sun, was wondrously radiant, and by its glitter inspired fear and awe in the shoe who, I don't think it's shoe. I think that's autocorrect. Sorry. Inspired fear and awe in the people who gazed intently upon it. And now a commentator explains, he experiences pain in the heart and stomach, peritonitis, perforated appendix, combined with intestinal roundworms, 10 to 16 inches long. Bunches of these can obstruct the intestines, causing severe pain, copious vomiting, and finally death. This excruciating condition continues for 5 days, and this is what Josephus reports. He was in excruciating pain for 5 days until he died. And so, yes, it's true that there were worms. And yes, it's true that he died, but it wasn't in that moment. It was a process that happened. Now, as we think about how this happened to King Herod, and as we think about how he didn't give glory to God, some of us here might have some questions, some important questions that we might ask about the Bible, and some of us we might even ask of God. We might ask the question, isn't God a God of love? Does God really kill people? Interestingly, this past Friday, in our community group, our TGIF community group, we asked this very question. And so it's really interesting. It's part of our sermon today. And some of you guys might be asking this question because some of you might be fearing, oh, if I don't give glory to God, then am I going to get struck down with worms that and experience excruciating pain? Am I going to go through that? Well, it's important for us to talk about that. Okay. So let's look at this verse here. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 1. The righteous perish, and no one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. I want to start off by talking about how, yes, God does take people away, even Christians. Even those people that are called God's people. This might be hard for us, some of us to understand because some of us have this mindset that what we need to experience, what God is going to help us to experience on this earth is a life full of joy and peace and comfort. And that's what this life is all about. If you have this kind of mindset, then you're not going to ever think that possibly God will take people away. Because that doesn't make sense in your mind. But what our passage tells us today is that sometimes God works in a way to take his people away from this earth. Yes, to have them die. Why? Because God spares them from the evil in this world. So yes, this is possible. But what we also find throughout Scripture, whether it be in the case of Nebuchadnezzar or in the case of Belshazzar, and these are different kings and royalty, or even in the case of King Herod today, God does punish evil. God does not kill just for no reason. Our God is a just God. Our God is a loving God. God loves his people. God loves those that are righteous, as the passage says. But those that are evil, those that turn away from God, those that hate God, those that don't have a clue about God and don't want to believe in God, God will sometimes work in a way, especially what we find in Scripture is, especially in world powers, in these people that are in positions of power, God will work to kill them, to take them out of power, to bring kingdoms down, to make kings fall. God does work in this way because God is a holy God. God is a God that wants to see those people that are suffering. He wants to help those that are suffering. And if there is some kind of power that is constantly causing those that are suffering to suffer, God will act. This does not mean that God will always save the righteous. Like I said, sometimes what it means is that God will take away those that are righteous to spare them from the evil. God works in these ways. Sometimes we may not understand it. We may not understand it. But God does work in this kind of way. And so when we ask this question again, does God kill people? Yes, he does work in this kind of way. Because, again, he is a holy God. But there is always a reason. We need to be clear about that. And we need to respect and understand, revere our God as a holy God that hates sin and he hates evil in this world. Now, sometimes we may be the ones that ask this question to the Bible and to pastors. And we may even shake our hand at God and say, God, what are you doing? But just as in the case of Job, if you don't know the story of Job, I encourage you to go read the book of Job in the Bible. Just as in the case of Job, let's turn it around now and imagine God asking us questions. Okay? God asking us questions. These questions. Well, do you trust in God's plan? Do you trust in His power over kings? Do you trust your life and even death? Do you trust even your death into the Lord's hands? God does promise us peace and joy. God does promise us an abundant life. But this does not come about through riches in this world. This does not come about by having a comfortable life. This comes about because we have a relationship with God. This is what God says. This is what God promises. And so what that means then is for us as Christians, it is possible to experience all kinds of good things, but even experience all kinds of evil things in this world and be okay because of our relationship with God. Now, if we don't do that, this is what is called not giving glory to God. Another way of saying this word, giving glory to God, is to give credit to God. Or another way of saying it is to say we acknowledge God. Acknowledge that He's the one that's in power. Acknowledge the one that He's the one that's in control. That no matter what's going on in this world and no matter what's going on in my life, I trust that God is in control. This is what it means to give glory to God. To say, God, I thank You, and I acknowledge and I praise You because I know that You're the one that's in control. You're the God that is going to work things out. Even if my life does not make sense, and even if this world does not make sense right now, I trust, God, that You are the one that's working things out for Your glory. This is what it means to give glory to God. And so again, I want us to think about our own lives. Do you trust in God's plan? Do you trust in His power over kings? Do you trust your life and even death into the Lord's hands? I want to read another passage for us here. Let's see if this works. All right, great. It says in Psalm 46, verses 6 to 10, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. So be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You see, sometimes this world can be really crazy. Sometimes our own lives can be really crazy. But as we think about all that's going on and our minds are racing, sometimes late at night, our minds are racing. Take the time to remember, God is the one that's in control. He has the power to make kingdoms rise and fall. And God says here, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. See, the thing is that even as I say this, and I'm telling you to do these things, some of you guys are still struggling. Some of you guys will still have those late nights where things are racing through your mind. and you're really concerned about what's going to happen in this world. Some of us are really concerned about what might happen here in Taiwan. And it affects our lives. It affects our sleep. It affects our physical lives. The main message for today is to trust the Lord through it all. But what we find ourselves doing over and over again is that we find ourselves not trusting in the Lord. And we find ourselves struggling continually. Perhaps the reason is because rather than trusting that God is the one that's in control, we still believe somehow that we're the ones that are in control. If somehow I can fix some things that are going on, if somehow I can convince people to vote a certain way, if somehow I can escape away into some safe place, if somehow I could switch jobs and find the perfect job, if somehow I could do all these things, then things will be okay. And instead of giving glory to God, instead of entrusting your life and the situation that you're in into the Lord's hands, what we do often is that we say, I have the mind of God. I have the control of God. I am the one that is able to affect my life, to do what is right, to do what is good, and to make my life a more comfortable and better life. I may not have control over the world, but at least I'm in control of my own life. And this is what the world continues to tell you. Take control of your life. You can do it. You are the best. You are so good. God is going to bless you and give you everything you want, even that mansion down the street. The world talks in all kinds of ways, whether Christian or not. They say, believe in yourself, believe in yourself. And what they're saying without even knowing it is they're saying, give glory to yourself. Don't give it to God. And we fail to trust in the Lord and give glory to God. But I want to remind all of us here, through our last point, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And I want to remind us what the Lord has done for us. Jesus Christ, our King. Though kingdoms rise and fall, though kings may rise and fall, our King Jesus will never fall. It says in Matthew 28 that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And then he goes on to tell everyone to go and make disciples. As the King, he says, go and make disciples. And he says, you know, through it all, whether you're facing persecution or not, whatever you're facing as you're making disciples, he says, as the King that is in authority, I am with you always, all the way to the end. And you know why this is possible? You know why he's able to make this kind of statement? The reason is because he was the one that died and conquered sin. For the ways that we don't trust in the Lord, for the ways that we give glory to ourselves, if you are a Christian here today, you don't have to worry that God's going to strike you down because of your sin and because of your evil acts and your evil desires. You don't have to worry that God's going to strike you down because Jesus Christ already died on the cross for all your sins. He conquered sin through his death. Not only that, he conquered the world. He conquered everything that this world fears. He conquered death. All the kings in this world. I'm sorry, I want to keep it on this picture, but I think there's this automatic change to the next slide thing, so I'll just keep it here. All the kings in this world, they fear death. But Jesus Christ conquered death. Jesus Christ was the only one that was able to conquer death. And this is why. Because he conquered sin and because he conquered death, he is the one that has all authority in heaven and on earth. He has power over all the authorities in this world. And he has power over all spiritual authorities in this world. I've heard multiple stories, even in the last 2 weeks, about how some of us here have struggled with the spiritual powers. Some of you have come from backgrounds where you were involved in spiritual things. And some of you are very afraid of spiritual things that go on. There are temples and all these things all around Taiwan, and you don't want to go near any of those places because those places are evil and you're afraid of those places. But let me declare to you here today, because Jesus died and rose again, He has all authority over all kingdoms, whether in the physical world or even in the spiritual world. You have nothing to fear. Christians, brothers and sisters, you have nothing to fear because our Lord Jesus Christ is King over everything. As we think about how Jesus is King, Revelation is written so that we know what's coming ahead. And what we know is that even though this world is full of evil and difficulties and suffering, we know one day Jesus is going to come back and He's going to make everything right. And this is what it says in Revelation 19. It says, He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which He is called is the Word of God. And when we skip over to verse 16, it says, On His robe and on His thigh He has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What this basically means is that Jesus is coming back and He's going to show that He is the victor, the victorious one. He's the one that is King over all the kings. He's the Lord over all lords in this world, throughout all time, in the spiritual realm, in the physical realm. Christians, brothers and sisters, we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. But remember how I said that there are these words that remind us of things? As you get to know God's word more and more and you think about certain words, remember here it says that Jesus is called the Word of God. We go back to our verse today. It says, Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down, struck Herod down, because he did not give God the glory. And he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. And the very next verse says this, But the word of God increased and multiplied. You see, all other kingdoms will fall. Only the word of God, the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ and His good news, will continue to increase and will multiply all around the world. So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. I want to remind you and encourage you today. No matter what you're going through, no matter what this world is going through, we have nothing to fear. Even our own sin of how we don't give glory to God, even how those times where we don't acknowledge God, Jesus Christ has taken care of everything. So let's look to Jesus, our victorious King. Let's be reminded that He's in control, that He's the one that has power. You're okay. You can experience His peace and the joy that we have with Him because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. So what does it mean to trust in the Lord? I just want to finish with these practical points here. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? Number one, we could start by praying for the world powers. In 1 Peter, it mentions how we need to be praying for the world leaders. There's also another passage in Romans that talks about how we need to be submissive to these world powers. Instead of being against all these world powers and just talking about how evil they are and talking about politics and getting into arguments with other people about politics, instead of doing that, let's look to our King Jesus, who's in power, and be reminded that, you know what, all of these people and what they're doing, they're going to rise and fall. We need to be involved and be responsible and do what we can. But at the same time, let's be okay. Let's not get so angry and upset and fight each other because of these things. Rather, as brothers and sisters in Christ, let's pray together for these world powers. Let's pray together and be concerned for what's going on in this world. Secondly, let's encourage one another. In 1 Peter chapter 2, there in verse 9 and 11, it talks about how we are a kingdom of priests. We are a royal priesthood. We are a people of God. And so as we remember that, we can remind each other, look, we have a king together that's in control. We don't have to worry about what's going on in this world, and we can remind each other, look, we are a kingdom of priests. We are a royal priesthood, and remind each other and encourage each other. We don't have to worry about these things. We can have courage and strength today. And the last thing is that we can continue to share the good news. Our King Jesus, who said all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, he tells his people, go and make disciples of all nations. And so just as we see in the passage here, how the word of God continued to multiply and increase, no matter what we face in this world, even if one day, I'm not a prophet, I don't know if this is going to happen, but if China comes in and takes over Taiwan, if this happens, we don't have to be afraid. The thing that we need to know is that we want to continue to spread the good news. That no matter what's going on in this world, our God is King and He's in control. I want to end by talking about this thing. It's probably not very clear, but it says on the bottom left, Jakarta 2023. On the bottom right, it says October 2nd to the 5th. I am going to Jakarta, Indonesia on October 2nd to the 5th. It's not a holiday time for us here, but if you are free during that time and you want to go with me, this is a conference. I'm not speaking or anything. I'm going to attend. This is a conference that's focused on what God is doing in the Chinese-speaking world. This is a group especially related to work that's being done in China with the church planting ministries and they're putting on this conference, and this is not just to anyone, but I do want to say they said that people can come and they can invite people from their churches. And so I want to invite you, if you are interested in going, it will cost some money. We do need to buy our own plane tickets. The church is not going to sponsor. But if you're interested, you have the finances, then let me know and let's go together. Okay? October 2nd to the 5th, we're going to go to Jakarta and we're going to experience and hear about what God is doing in the Chinese-speaking world. All right? So, kings will rise, kings will fall, but trust in the Lord through it all. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this time together. And I thank you that you are a God that is the King over all the world. Lord, help us to continue to trust in you. Lord, we don't even have the power to control things in this world or even our own lives. But Lord, we thank you that you have accomplished it all for our sake. And you are the one that's in control in our lives. So we don't have to worry. We could be glad and we could be filled with your peace today. And so I pray, Lord, that you would do that in our hearts. For your glory, I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.